forever. Dog.
This is the Couch Guys Anatomy. She's watched the show like a lot of times. Who is gonna be chief of surgery? Shonda Rhimes wrote the show and it is really, really good. Meredith Grey.
Climb into a rocket and we set the fuse to go, go, go.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Nicole's Grey's Anatomy. This was a really fun one. We did something a little different, which is that Viviana Olin and Matt Harkin, who run the THNK 1994 Museum, which is like this independent museum that does all these different pop culture themes, they recently did one on Grey's Anatomy, and I felt really excited that they got to come on the podcast and talk about their experience with Grey's and the exhibit and what it was like to put it together and some of the things that they had in it, and we just talk about Grey's in general, which is really great and a really fun time. As I'm recording this, the most recent episode that's come out was Grey's 350th, which is absolutely bananas. I don't know how many of you guys who listen currently watch, but I genuinely sobbed. I cried really hard when I was watching it, and it was truly good. And I feel really proud of my friend Meredith Grey. I also feel proud of Ellen Pompeo, who turned 50 last week and looks the way that she looks and is the way that she is. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say it. God bless her. Yeah, there are really exciting things happening in the cast world of Grey's. Caterina Scorsone, which I think is how you say her name. She plays Amelia. She's pregnant for real, which makes sense. Then that her character is pregnant, all coming together. What else? Oh, yeah. Kelly McCreary's actual sister played her cousin two episodes ago, and it seems like they had an amazing time. I felt very happy for them. I still haven't done like the great 2019 Grey's wedding recap that I've meant to do. But, you know, as we come up on the end of this calendar year, it's really stunning to think about how many Grey's cast members got married. I don't think I'll ever say more about it than that. But Kelly McCreary got married. So did the guy, Giancomo, however you say his last name, who plays DeLuca. He got married in Italy. Character study. Who else got married? Oh, Joe. Camilla Luddington got married. Do you feel proud? Do you feel happy? Do you want to know who was invited to whose weddings? I know the answer to those, and it just came from some hard-won Instagram stalking. Yeah, those are kind of all of my like personal updates as I reflect on this year. We have just a few more episodes left before the end of the year, and I take a long sleep. You can always tweet me at N Silverberg with thoughts about Grey's Anatomy. I always love to hear them. If I don't reply to your tweet or I don't like it or something, chances are I actually didn't see it because I have very hard notification filters. And if you have not confirmed your email and phone number, I won't see it because I found that checking those two boxes removed the bulk of trolls. So I know that you're not trolling me when you talk about Grey's, but unfortunately I won't see it if you haven't done some like hard confirmations on your identity with your account. Yeah, and I think that that's about it. Wow, a little bit of intro, a little bit of musing on Grey's, little reflection, little housekeeping. What more could one ask for? Yeah, if you're wondering if I sound congested, it's because, yes, you guessed it, I have my third sickness of this season. That's a little bit of a personal update. Okay, I've checked all the boxes. Let's get right into the episode. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Nicole's Grey's Anatomy. I'm so excited for this episode because I have two guests who have taken a love for Grey's Anatomy in an equally obsessive but different direction as I have. Well, you might say that this podcast, you might say that it's a feast for the ears. My guests have created a Grey's experience that's, you know, for the ears, the eyes, the body. I'll stop teasing it and just tell you my guests are Viviana Olin and Matt Harkins, and they are the creators of the Think 1994 Museum, who recently had an exhibit on Grey's Anatomy. Hey, guys.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
I'm so excited that you're here. Before we get into the museum and all of that, although I don't know, that might end up tying into sort of this first part, but my first question I always ask is, what is your Grey's journey?
Grey's first came into my life in my first year of college because I was going to school in Seattle.
Oh my gosh, authentic.
And I remember on the little shuttle bus, somebody was like, did you guys see that new show Grey's Anatomy last night? It takes place in Seattle. And I was like, I live in Seattle. So I definitely watched the first season and I was like, oh my God, this is like everything. But I kind of came away from it. Then when we started working on the Grey's exhibit with ABC, it was like our 10th exhibit. And we was like, okay, we have to revisit Grey's and like we have like a month to do it.
Uh-huh.
So we watched all of Grey's Anatomy in, I would say, like 3 to 4 weeks' time.
Oh, heroic.
And it was maybe the greatest time of my life. I mean, the roller coasters that I went on, that like, it was so many emotions mm-hmm. in such a short period of time. It was like going through puberty again.
When you watched it when you were living in Seattle, how many seasons did you watch?
I really went on the first season and then I kind of dropped out of college and started wandering. So
life gets in the way.
Yeah,
but
you know
Grey's always
some time
comes
in
back.
Hawaii.
I literally love to hear it. Had you watched Grey's before?
I had only known of Katherine Heigl.
Okay, fair.
That was like I remember when Grey's came out. I remember like people watching it, but I just never got into it. And I think maybe it was like I felt like I had watched ER.
Yeah.
And I sort of just felt like, no, this isn't my friend. Like it's like been reanimated in some way.
Absolutely.
At the time.
It's how I feel about New Amsterdam and The Resident, even though I've been told by many people I would like it.
The commercials look really good.
The Good Doctor, which I have watched some of, and it's not for me. But I really respect people for whom it is for.
But it's not Grey's.
Yeah, I mean, I just really relate to saying like, oh, those aren't my friends.
Yeah.
Like, my friends work in a hospital, and it's actually a different hospital from this. And I like that hospital
better.
Yeah,
it's
but
a little bit grittier.
So
it's like more real, probably seeming from the commercials. I remember at the time, this felt like I was like, this is like ER, but softer.
Yeah. Their original like ad campaign was definitely like, what if Sex in the City, but doctors?
Yeah.
And you can tell in like those early seasons when they would have the full credit sequence where they're like pouring a martini, which becomes an IV. It's like, that's not actually they never leave the hospital, and this is not at all what the show is about. But I respect an ad campaign.
It is one of the sexiest shows,
yeah,
ever.
Yeah. So what struck you? I mean, I can't imagine. I've binged the show a lot, but I can't imagine watching that much of it for the first time in that short of a period. What were like your major takeaways from watching the show?
It was just absolutely like every time an episode ended, it was like I could not shove more into my mouth faster.
Yeah.
I was like also shocked just about like how much sex they have in that hospital.
They work there.
They're like always
and
there.
It's also like a sanitary medical space.
And then
supposedly.
I also went like from like, who the hell does Lexi think she is? Where did she come from? To like, oh my God, I love Lexi so much within like a span of like a week.
Right.
So like.
And for some of us, it took, you know.
Yeah, it was
like
probably
week
a
to
slow
week,
draw.
It was
Yeah.
I love Lexi. She's,
I love her.
And I think that the way that they introduce her is such it's so fair. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, it's not her fault that her dad is Thatcher Grey,
mm-hmm.
but It is her fault that she assumes that Meredith wants to be a little sissy to her at first.
Yeah. And that she, you know, it's like not her fault that she flirted with McDreamy.
Yeah, she didn't know. She didn't know.
You just want to like strangle
her. Yeah,
but
you're like,
who the fuck? Get away from him.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Okay. So you liked Lexi. What other, I'm just so curious about what other.
I Addison just being the most glamorous.
Yeah.
Person on the planet, right?
It's weird that she's on so little of the show considering how big of an impact she has. Like the spinoff came so early.
Yeah, and I think like I just could have, and I tried to watch the spinoff and I was like, because I just needed more Addison, but I was like, no, just get her back over there.
Yeah, it's just such a different setting and such a different cast of characters that it's not that she's a different character as much as it's just like the things that you love about Addison aren't as relevant with these new people because they're like this really close-knit group of friends and she's like estranged from some of them. And then other ones, she's like, what are these people's problem? And yeah, I watched half of Private Practice, but it was only for six seasons.
That's a fair chunk.
Yeah. There are rumors that that Kate will be returning.
That would be very nice.
Well, you know, she has a signature scent. She has her own cologne or perfume that she makes now. It's called Boyfriend.
I love that.
Yeah.
What if you were like, it's called Bad Judge because she really misses her project, Bad Judge. I tried to watch that show. I mean, I did watch it. I tried to watch it for as long as it was on, and it was not on for that long.
I don't remember that one. Did she play like the titular character?
Yeah, she actually was. I think she was Bad Judge and not Bad Teacher. Now I feel like I need to look it up. That was the year of Bad Moms, Bad Teachers.
Oh no, Bad Teacher judge. Was Cameron Diaz for okay, sure. Yeah. So she Bad Judge though she could have been.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
That was like 2 years after everything was like Good Wife, right?
Okay.
Like,
Can you believe?
Oh
I'm
my
showing
God.
Them the photo.
You know, the color palette of that ad, I do remember it now.
Yeah, I'm showing them a picture of Kate Walsh in a purple shimmery blouse, kooky painted nails, crazy bracelets, and she's like holding a gavel like, oh, what, this? And yeah, unfortunately, it has a 20% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. But Rebecca Wright parties hard, rocks out as the drummer in a band with her best friend, did not remember that, and presides over court in Los Angeles as one of the toughest and most respected, if unorthodox, criminal court judges in town. While being well-established in her professional life, her wild child lifestyle has left her untethered in her personal life, despite a bevy of male admirers. But when an 8-year-old... whose parents she sentenced showed up needing her help, he seems poised to be the guy who finally ties Rebecca down. First episode date October, final episode date January.
It sounded like such a good show up until the 8-year-old, though. The 8-year-old is what we need to get. If they had gotten a second season, they could have done what they did on Mom and just get rid of the kid.
Yes.
And then that sounded really good. Every part of that description, I was 100% on board.
I really watched every episode like closely and don't remember the detail of her like being in a band. Oh. Crazy.
She's got the look, though.
Can I ask a question about Private Practice?
Yeah.
Is it as, because the one thing when I went and watched Grey's, I did not expect that it was so stressful.
Yeah.
Was Private Practice an equally stressful show to watch, or was it a different direction?
That's a really good question. Because it doesn't take place in a hospital, like, and not all of them are surgeons, it's not like... Every case isn't testing the clock. And especially in the first season, they really lean into like Kate, like into Addison having this experience of like, what is this California lifestyle? Like, you guys are all like, you take like the receptionist surfs during lunch and they're like, what is this? But I will say that I stopped watching Private Practice because in one season finale, Amy Brenneman's character, Violet, who plays the therapist, is stalked by one of her patients who then attacks her in her home and cuts out her baby with a knife. So does that answer? In a way, I feel like that answers your question.
Oh, my God.
Leaves her for dead. Kidnaps her baby out of her body. It's
Well, this happened a lot. Horrific.
So. And then, so knowing that, can you believe then that they also do, they also deliver one of the babies on Grey's Anatomy by cutting someone with a kitchen knife on a table?
They do.
Like, can you believe that they were like, let's do that on both?
There's not enough of this represented.
Yeah.
See, that's when they have to watch out and just be like, this person's writing a lot of weird stuff. You know?
Yeah, I know.
Someone call someone.
Let's just check out their home life.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I love that they didn't think that would be a problem. They're like, ah, it's been a few years. It's fine. Let's do it. I think that there's no other way to do the story. What can I what can I say?
Interesting.
Yeah. So what were your impressions of Grey's as like a first time watcher?
I mean, I definitely was. I didn't realize that it was going to be, I guess I knew from the ads, but it was very like Sex in the City. It had more of that than I expected it to have going on. But the big thing was just how stressful it was to watch. I mean, there were episodes that I was like, I might be like too old or something. I like can't watch this. This is like hard. Like, I mean, the bomb one.
Yeah. Obviously. Oh, that's real. That's a very high stress episode.
The shooting. I remember watching that one. I was like, whew, this is like,
it's really brutal.
Yeah. And then the plane crash.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, each one of those, I just was like, it was not what I had expected. But also maybe like shows just are like that. And I just don't watch a lot of them because I think that's probably more likely.
I don't know. I mean, I think that there are like different kinds of suspense. Like I had to stop watching Orange is the New Black because it was stressing me out too much because I felt like every single episode was like the suspense of a cat and mouse game where it's like, all these people are in this enclosed space. Certain people want to kill each other. And you're just like hoping that everyone can avoid the run-ins that are going to be like really dangerous or like hide the thing that they need to hide or not get caught. And like entire episodes would have like multiple arcs where that's where people are, what people are doing. And it was giving me like high blood pressure and I had to stop watching. And I feel like Grey's doesn't have as much of like a no, like hide quick, like,
yeah.
And I feel like that is the brand of suspense that stresses me out the most. But I also think that like Grey's has a language, and once you kind of learn the language and you're like, okay, like this type of thing usually means that this outcome's gonna happen, like it becomes like, it's not as stressful for me as it was when I was first watching it, I guess.
But my favorite was watching those, the early episodes, because I was only aware of like the scandals that went on. Like those I would read about so much and I never watched the show. So now watching the show, having spent so much time like reading about that, all I could imagine was like, okay, what happened? You know,
it doesn't always come through, which is so surprising. Like you can't. Like, sometimes I'm surprised to realize that, like, oh, my God, it was in this episode where, like, this drama was happening and you would never know if it hadn't.
And that was, like, I mean, that's, like, historic drama, I feel, that happened on the show.
I mean, I've said multiple times on this podcast that, like, talking about Grey's is a joy. I love meeting other people who talk about Grey's. But my primary objective of this podcast is to pressure the Grey's industry to let me make an oral history. Because I need to just know. Yeah, I mean, like, can you imagine the tome of, like, firsthand accounts? Well, the show has to end first, I think, before people feel like they can speak.
Yeah, that's a good point. But there is so much of it that is ready for that kind of, I think, treatment because of the fact that even today, Katherine Heigl is still completely misunderstood, I feel. Like, with it, she did the Instagram post when she was in a cemetery and everyone, I think she was maybe
great photo shoot.
Yeah. And she took a photo and then everyone was like, this is so insensitive. They made her delete it. But it's like, what does it matter to you? Like, you know.
Oh my gosh. I missed that. Katherine Heigl's Instagram I've tried a couple times to like kind of get invested. And I love how obsessed she is with her husband. That part of it is like wonderful for me. But the rest of it, I'm like, I actually have to weed this out from the feed. I'm so sorry. Yeah, it's interesting like what they end up doing with Izzy. They don't just like kill her off easy. They
give her cancer and they give her hallucinations.
And it's they make Kurev reject her.
It's just shocking. And then she's what, living in a trailer park? No, she's...
I think she might go back home.
She goes back home, yeah.
Yeah, or at least for a time. Yeah.
She had it all, though. You know, she had the millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's just like, yeah, just kind of dragging her through it, you know? But, yeah. You know, she definitely put herself out there to have that, to play that game, you know?
Were there any characters when you watched who you hated or you were like, I hope this person gets killed off?
Yeah, that's what was so fun about the journey. Like April, I was like, get her out of here.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, I'm like, I want to go to church, you know, to April, take me to church. I love you. You cannot get rid of me.
What was your turning point with April? I'm curious.
I think it was the shooting episode because like that mom
one who gets Derek shot.
I know, but just like she's like, but that like just her acting there.
Oh,
just,
yeah, I remember that. Sarah
Drew is a good actor. That's an Instagram to really.
Oh, is
look
that?
At.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Does she do a lot of Hallmark stuff now?
She does. Yeah, or she, well, not a lot. I think she's done her first Christmas movie coming out. You're going to get some long captions. Mm. You're going to get.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're going to get captions about the process of auditioning, like the industry, how taxing that is. She has recently gotten into dance classes, like hip hop classes as a way of like stress relief.
Love that. For
her birthday, she had a dance class with her friends who she met from dance.
Her relationship with her husband is aspirational. Didn't they like write letters to each other for a long time?
Yeah, they've been married for a very long time. He is a professor of like religious studies at Occidental.
Oh, fun.
Is that cool that I know that? I think it's fine. I think it's okay, but not great to know that. It's fine. Okay, so tell me about the museum. And so ABC approached you to do
it. We worked with Pop Sugar, who was working with ABC. Okay. And then we had been talking to Pop Sugar about doing something. And we'd done a lot of like pop culture exhibits and we worked with a lot of artists. And so we kind of had them like in our network already. And so it was just so fun, like the research phase and then just kind of like pick. It was like so hard to pick like the biggest moments as well as like also, you know, try to represent like the new cast as much as possible and like all those kind of things that you have to do from like a you know, when you're working with a client kind of standpoint. But I think the art was so fun. Like so many of the fun things that we wanted to do, like we definitely got in there. Like we wanted to do a giant painting of McSteamy in the shower. And then we actually had to get this, we initially wanted to get like a statue of him in the shower, like in front of it too. And then we realized statues are so expensive.
We were like a little above our pay grade. I think it's like something we're like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we can do that.
Stop saying we can do statues.
It's like, oh, that's really hard.
And then we're like, they really want the statue. And we're like,
But we found a man on Craigslist who worked at a liquor store who had this mannequin in his basement. And so we went to meet him.
Yeah.
And he was so sweet.
Yeah.
And he had it from like days when I think he did window dressing.
Yeah. I think he was just meet us at the liquor store. I don't think he worked there.
Oh.
We did meet at a liquor store.
We met inside the liquor store for sure. Yeah.
I could absolutely see why you would think that he was employed there. For that to be the meeting place, that would be like a huge clue for me.
I still have his number on my phone. He's like, if you ever need anything. Let me know. You know, he's got a full incredible. Basement, he said.
Yeah, he said he has a lot of stuff. And we had to keep that with us because we were, like, going to ship it. And so I had to sleep next to the mannequin because we didn't have any room. So it slept in my bed. And that was our sculpture next to a giant painting.
It was perfect. A hot mannequin.
Oh, it was very sexy.
And
it was,
well, I would hope so.
And, like, the best part of that is, like, we had the giant painting. Then we had the towel around the statue. And I don't know where the picture is, but there was one picture of, like, this little kid holding McSteamy's hand, the statue, and just like
that was so cute,
in front
yeah.
of it.
Oh my God.
And
I love it.
That was like the first time we were like working with somebody else, like where they were like, it was like they had final say and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But so I think maybe other people would not have taken it seriously. We were like, we have to research. And then we sat down and like watched all these episodes. And we got there and it was like, oh, you watched all of this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. This is,
yes, we
let the job in. Yeah.
Okay, so what else did you have?
We had that. We had a wall that was like the elevator kiss, and it had like the – we had like buttons. They were like these gray buttons, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like the elevator. And then we had the kiss, like in a painting that was by Laura Collins. We had a thing you could stand behind and you could like get your Gray Sloan memorial badge. As if you were an intern.
I love that.
And the paintings needed, that was like Patrick Dempsey was in them. And so there was
he looked great.
He looked great. Yeah.
He looked so hot.
But I don't know what it was, if it was him or like a contractual thing, but there needed to be three options.
Oh.
Which was a shocking discovery. And like, I was like, oh my goodness, Patrick.
Three. I love that.
Yeah.
And then didn't you guys have some like, actual like artifacts from the show?
So that was so cool. The prop department sent us over like a whole bunch of stuff, and we like it was like amazing. They sent us the original post-it note, the only one.
Oh my god.
And they were like, you cannot
be careful with this.
Lose this.
Was it framed?
We put it in the frame and everything. So they kind of sent us everything like just like in packages. Okay. And then like the
I'm so dumb. I'm like, they have it framed in Meredith's bedroom. Was it in that frame? I'm smart.
We just have to find a different frame. No, wait, maybe it was framed. I don't know.
The post-it?
No, I think
the post-it came framed. No, it came framed, and then I had to add something to it to mount it, and I didn't know how to do it without hammering it. So I like hammered in this thing on the back of it, and I was so scared because I was like, if I like break this, like this is so bad.
This is the post-it.
And then I somehow got it in and up there, just in the nick of time, I think.
And then like there was like lines outside all weekend, so like the last like 15 minutes, they like cleared everybody out and just like let like whoever was in the line in, and so like every single person just like stood by that post-it, just like told them to like because yeah, we didn't think
that's
be crazy.
A very cool get.
It was very cool. We had x-rays of like the nails in the chest, and we had like those backlit. They sent us the Polaroid of Christina holding the fish.
Oh my god. Which Shonda Rhimes so cool. Like has I think had that on her desk for a
oh,
time.
Really?
Yeah, and
I love it. It's yeah. So cool.
That's an amazing episode.
Yeah, we got a really like woodsy frame for it.
Yeah, it was it was like a fishing line on it too. So, you know, because there's a fish.
Authentic. No, that's authentic.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, so people kind of can understand, like, remember how fish work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've built out the bar so you could like kind of be at the bar. And like, there was so much research of that. Like Matt was like trying to like color match the colors of the wall.
Oh yeah.
Of Joe's Pub.
We were at like Home Depot. Like, well, will this be a forest green?
Anything that you remember about Joe's Pub, it's definitely the colors of the wall. So memorable. I'm thinking of them right now. They're dark. Wait, so how did you represent the most recent cast member? I'm trying to think of like what
it was before the new slew of interns.
Okay, so before like glasses and the like. Okay. Yeah. But then you still had to represent like Joe, I guess, and that group of they were interns at some point. way back when.
We had a Dance It Out station, and it would play the entire like Gray's like soundtrack.
Oh, that's
and
so cool.
And so you put on like headphones, and then like it was right in front of like this illustration of the three sisters. Mm-hmm. And they were dancing it out in the living room. That was very cute. And then the opening, it was very cool. We were, we did not talk to any of the talent, but we did look at them from across the room.
Love that.
So, you know, Richard Weber was there.
James Pickens Jr., a pro, through and through.
And this was, like, our first time in L.A., so during the weekend, we were like, we have to go to the Ivy, like, for lunch. And, like, so we went to the Ivy, like, while it was running. And then we get back, and they're like, oh, my God, Alex Karev came while you were gone. And we're like, no.
Yeah,
and then the Ivy, like, basically asks us to leave because you can't just order appetizers.
That sounds like the consummate LA experience. It's like, yeah, it was someone super famous walked by and you didn't see it. And also, you're too poor to be here.
Yeah.
But speaking of somebody super famous, Keanu Reeves walked by outside and then somebody took a photo with him and they tagged the location. So then we were like, yeah, he was here.
Oh, yeah. Keanu Reeves. I bet he would love Grey's. If he watched it, I bet he would love it.
Oh, yeah, maybe he's got that come. Soul.
Maybe
yeah.
he has.
Yeah.
Maybe he has.
Yeah.
We don't know for sure. That's so cool. What were the takeaways? Did you have like takeaways from the experience of running the museum, or like also just kind of seeing the fandom that Grey's Anatomy has?
I think is one of the strongest on this world. Like, we were getting DMs from people that were like crying. They were like, I drove 2 hours to get here.
That's really cool.
And I don't know if I'm going to be able to get in. And I didn't know how to handle that. I was just like, I turned off my phone.
Be like, I don't know. I'm not in charge of that.
And then like, just like the love and people like, you know, came and showed us pictures like of them like going to Seattle, like, you know, and like finding those locations. And then people just loved every single moment. Like, we had this giant house of candles with like AstroTurf.
Oh my God.
That you could like take a picture like laying down.
You could throw
on
your
it.
Wedding ring away and never find it again. Except for later, you could hit with a baseball bat. Because that's what makes it authentic. You can kind of like destroy a relationship really fast in front of it.
Yeah, a lot of destroyed relationships died there.
Yeah, I've been very struck by running this podcast and hearing from other people who listen to it and who love Grey's Anatomy. It's like, I think that, I don't know. I mean, I think that like there are lots of different reasons why people like come to the show or stay with it. But it's definitely a very like powerful presence and like very meaningful to a lot of people, and it feels, I like speaking from the experience of running the podcast, it feels like very special when people kind of like let you in on what their connection to Grey's Anatomy is. Like, I get a lot of personal messages from people who like share with me what their Grey's journey is, which is like special because that's always the first question that I ask guests, and it's definitely for a lot of people, it's like out of really personal moments that they like found the show and connected with it and have stayed with it for a long time. And it reminds me that TV and the relationship that you have with certain TV shows is like, can be as meaningful or personal as relationships that you have like with living people in your life, because it's just like something between you and something else. So I can only imagine what it would be like to kind of like see groups of people kind of take it in
person. Was so fun. People definitely came with like their groups of friends, and it was like so cool seeing like those, you know, what's, I feel like with Grey's, like if, as long as you like give it a chance, like with like an open heart, like it's really hard not to love.
Yeah.
Because it is so intimate. It is so exciting. It's like, there's going to be a character that you're going to connect with. Like, when we were doing the research phase and watching it, like I would, whenever I went to my boyfriend's, I was like, I have to watch Grey's Anatomy. Sorry, we're doing this. And then he would just be like, this is stupid. Da, da, da. But I would like wake up like, and he'd like be 5 episodes ahead of me and he'd be like, oh, yeah, what is the best thing about this show?
My office mate and friend at work, Sahar, she watches Grey's too, and her boyfriend like has watched some with her recently, like this current season, and we were talking about this past week's episode, which was the 350th. Mm-hmm. And so they brought back some like patients, including Meredith's patient from the pilot episode, like the really bitchy, blonde teen who's like, do you even know where you're going?
Oh my God.
And she came back and like gave like a personal testament to Meredith Grey. And I like cried and not about that moment specifically. It's like they bring in like a ton of patients, this huge rush, and it's like a surprise. And Sahar texted me and she was like, what did you think of the episode? And I was like, I cried. And she was like, her fiance Kyle, she's like, Kyle cried. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that's Grace. Like, Grace is like, if you kind of like sit down and let yourself kind of suspend the disbelief of like these people are allowed to keep their jobs after everything that they do, you really get invested.
Yeah.
And feel proud of your friends. I love to feel proud of my friends at Seattle Grace Mercy West/Graceland Memorial Hospital.
We've lost a lot of our best friends along the way, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
I mean, a lot.
I mean, when they got rid of Callie, Callie too, but with Arizona and April in like one shot, it was just like.
Yeah, end of 14.
And April's journey is like so interesting because like she goes the army route and stuff and she gets so intense, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like,
I know.
You don't know what to expect of people.
Her becoming a trauma surgeon is not what you would have expected for her.
And Owen's so hot. There's just so much to love about it, you know?
Yeah.
Who do you think is the hottest guy in the history of Grey's?
That's such a good question. It's hard to say. You see people's highs, you see people's lows. I guess, even though I think that, like, ultimately his personality is kind of bad, I kind of think McDreamy. Mm-hmm. I kind of think Derek, just because, I don't know, if you let yourself not be bothered by the power dynamic stuff, that's hot to me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's, I mean, I think that Henry is probably like my biggest Grey's crush, mm-hmm. even though he is dying. Mm-hmm. That's Teddy's husband who she gets married to for insurance reasons.
Yeah.
Scott Foley. Scott Foley is powerfully
hot. Is he dead yet or is he still alive?
Oh, he's absolutely dead. Christina killed him.
I'm not. Not on purpose.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so great. Like, there's so much content in Grey's.
No, I mean, you can forget
Total Threads.
Yeah.
But that was and she was just so nonchalant when she came out of that OR.
She's like, oh my God, he was dead before he hit the table. And you're like, no.
Oh my God. And it's just like the drama. God, yeah. I want to rewatch and like just do it all over again.
Wait, who do you guys think is hottest?
I would have said, you know, like McSteamy or Karev, but I do think Owen's the hottest.
Whoa,
that's
rough
for me because I want him to die, but I do respect. I respect him as a hot.
His entrance is just like, is there anything hotter than his entrance?
It's the icicle.
It's like the icicle, and he's just like a trauma surgeon.
He like staples his leg.
Yeah. You know? And
he's like, very aggro.
Yeah, he's a man, but he also wants a lot of kids, you know?
Yeah.
And he wants to take care of all of his wives.
He does not want you to get an abortion. Hubba, hubba.
He'll raise them all. No, I don't know. He's just really hot. But they're all so hot.
I definitely don't think he's the hottest one on the show, I will say. I think Karev is hotter than him.
Karev is also hotter than him, yeah.
I mean, Karev working with like kids and being good with kids makes him also hot.
Remember the episode when he had to take off his shirt and hold the baby?
Yeah, do the kangaroo hold with the baby? Absolutely. It's really good.
Yeah, we initially wanted a lot more paintings of all the guys.
Yeah, we wanted to do like Babe's Anatomy. And they were like, there's more to Grey's than just the babes. And we're like, all right, okay.
If you say so.
But that was absolutely going to be a painting, though. Him topless holding the baby.
So what is the next exhibit that you guys are doing?
We just had an exhibit up at BravoCon. So we are planning our 2020 slate now. So email us and
I don't know.
Matt's like, you don't have to.
But yeah, I think our process, especially for independent ones, is just like watching a lot of TV, you know, going down a lot of wormholes, seeing what we can't shut up about. And that usually is the most fun thing. So we're back in research mode, watching the TV, you know.
That's the best place to be. Just watching TV and being like, this is work. This counts.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for being
on the
podcast.
It was
so great to have you and talk about Grey's. Where can people find you and also see your stuff?
We do pop up. So just, you know, we're everywhere. You just got to look for us. But our Instagram is THNK1994. That's like Tanya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan, 1994. And that's where you can kind of find everything.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.